anyways, I got the privilege to speak, and I was supposed to speak last week, and I was already, God had spoken to me, and then they double booked me for the pastor's conference at the same exact time. And so, girlfriends kind of got booted. I kept trying to go, no, I'll get you girlfriends. And they were like, no, you need to do the workshop. So, but I heard Lisa did awesome. Was Lisa good? I mean, Lisa is amazing. I just love that woman. Could you see her behind the pulpit? Did she use, you got her a different pulpit. Okay, good. I told them to do that. So God is good. I just want to play. It's been so long since I've seen you guys. And you know what? We are coming into a new season here at the Rock Church. You know, we have gone over that pastor's conference, and I really believe that we break something in the spirit when we do something that the enemy doesn't like. So I know the enemy didn't like us refilling, recharging, equipping, getting these pastors ready to go back to their churches, get people saved, get lives changed, let the body of Christ grow in bigger and better ways. So I just love what God has done. I love what God is doing. But don't you be a fool and think that the enemy isn't attacking while we're shouting. Because as soon as we start shouting, the enemy starts attacking. So if you're being attacked in your life, know you're doing something good. I love how the Bible says that they will persecute you for his name's sake, but know that you're doing good. You are right in the will and the plan of God if there's persecution and things coming against you. So don't be discouraged with that, but grab a hold of what he has for you. And so today, it was about a couple months ago, and we were in the office, and I get all the texts and the emails, and I get all the reports of what's going on in our church. And there was a lot of hurting people happening in a one-week period. It was almost overwhelming. It was like, I don't know if one human being can handle that much sadness in 1 week. You know, it made me want to run away and jump in the ocean and just scream and cry. I mean, that's how bad it was. And it was horrible. And then we lost a family member that same week, and it was just too much. It was just too much. And I was praying, and I was like, Lord, what is going on? And I was just rocking my kids to sleep, and that's really my quiet time with my Jesus, because they're finally quiet. And so I'm rocking in the chair, and the Lord spoke to me, and what he spoke to me was so powerful, I just started to cry. And then I went and I told Dan, because I was like, you know when you get a word from God? Like, it was in my bones. I mean, I was like, Dan, you have to hear. I didn't even care if the kids were sleeping or not. You know, I was like, out of here. See you kids later. Do your own thing. So I went in, and me and Dan like to preach to each other. So I went in, and here he is, you know, playing words with friends. And put your phone down. I have to tell you what God told me. And so I'm telling him this, and he's like, oh, my gosh. Like, if you were just to tell people just that, that would be enough. You could pack up and go home and be okay. So you guys ready to hear what God said? Yeah. I was talking to him about this world, and you know, you can turn on the news and hear everything about the gay rights, and everything that's sin is okay, and everything that's okay is right. You know, everything that's wrong is right, and everything that's right is wrong, right? Can you agree with me as Christians in the body of Christ that everything the Word says, the world says opposite of? And I was getting mad. Because I'm raising kids in this generation, and I'm like, oh, come on. That's not right. Those are wrong. That's sin. Sin is sin. Call it what it is. Don't put, you know, blankets over it and let's baby it. It's sin. And I was praying to God and talking to him about that, and he said, listen, Jess. He said, the world around you may look desperate, depleting, and dim, but remember that I am not desperate, but I need you to be desperate for me, because out of that desperation comes victory. I am not depleting, but I am all things to all men, and I am the beginning, and I am the end. And I am not dim, but I am the light of this world. And it was like, woo! Oh, yeah! What was I thinking? You know, like, stupid feelings. So, when you start to remember that God created the heavens and the earth, and that he formed the clouds and the oceans to stop where the land starts, and God put those stars in the sky like we saw with Louis Giglio, I mean, that's just mind-boggling. I don't even know where I was on that earth after all the golf balls and stuff that he talked about. And just to start thinking about the little minute things that you need a bill paid and God answers it, and you need healing and God answers it, and you need this to happen with your marriage and God answers it, but yet the whole world has drama going on and God answers it. But yet we can look at the negative, we can look at the bad, we can look at everything that's going on around us and get so weary in well-doing, weary in the worry. And God says, wait a second. Yeah, the world looks like this and there's going to be a great falling away, but that's the plan. You better make sure you're really saved. You better make sure you're really Christian. And I need you to be desperate for me. Because in your desperation for me comes the victory. I sat there in my chair, rocking, praying over my kids all the time like I do. And I began to cry because I thought, forgive me, God. Like in my unbelief, forgive me for my weariness. Forgive me for that worry and the overwhelming of the world just coming into my heart and me allowing it to come. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, you need to know, Jess, that there are things that you can do to overcome this world. And remember who I am in Christ. And so that's what we're going to learn today. We're going to learn how to overcome this world and stay focused in the things of Christ, because it's so easy to get weary in our worry. So in Revelations, I love this. Now remember, he says, I'm going to say it one more time. The world around you may look desperate and may look depleting and dim, but remember, I am not desperate, but I need you to be desperate for me. Out of that desperation comes victory. I am not depleting. I am all things to all men, and I am the beginning, and I am the end. I am not dim, but I am the light of the world. In Revelations 22:13, it says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. In Colossians 1, write these references down, 16 through 18, it says, For by him things were created that are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things may have preeminence. Isaiah 32, 1 through 3. Behold, a king will reign with righteousness. A prince will rule with justice. A man will be in a hiding place from the wind and a cover from the tempest. And as the rivers of water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land, the eyes of those who will see will not be dim, and the ears of those who will hear will listen. Listen, this is who our God is. And we don't have an excuse to get tired and weary and want to give up. What if God gave up on you? Where would you be right now? Where would you be right now? I know I would be dead. Where would you be? Because if I allowed the world to consume me like I used to allow the world to consume me, I would be dead. Because the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. You think that he ain't coming to kill you and steal you and destroy you? This church is shouting. Now, with the shout comes attack. But we're shouting because he's a big God, because he's a good God, because no matter what happens, we're going to get through it. You're swimming across the ocean, and you're going to see the other side, because God is standing at that shore going, come on, girlfriend, you can make it, daughter. We've got this. So listen, it is time for us to get on our feet and overcome our thoughts, our minds, our emotions, overcome the world. What is being put into your children? What is grandma's being put into your grandchildren? What are you allowing in your life that shouldn't be there? What are you saying, oh, it's okay because, you know, it's just kind of the way society is? No. Take a stand for what is right and righteous before God, and that's what he asks of us and nothing else. Number one, overcoming the world by being desperate for him. Out of our desperation comes our victories, is what he said. I want you to turn with me to Matthew 15, 21 through 28. There's a Gentile woman here. And it says in verse 21, Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman, a Canaan, came from the region and cried out to him, saying, well, before we get there, this woman wasn't just any woman. She had no rights to talk to him. She had no rights to approach him. She was a Gentile. She didn't get the luxuries that they got. She didn't have the open door policy with Jesus. But she didn't care because she was desperate. And she knew he had the answer, and she didn't care her position or her place that the world had put on her. She didn't care what she was born into, but she knew what she was looking to. She didn't care where she was destined to be, supposedly, according to everybody else in the world that she had said, you can only be here, you can't talk to that man. You're a Gentile, he's Jewish. Can't go there. She says, no, I have to talk to him. I have to get to him because I have a sick little girl. And it says in verse 22, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. She approached him knowing who he was. She approached him in fear. She approached him in reverence. So many times we just think of this God that we can breathe back and sit and cuddle with. But listen, he's also a God that can put your butt right in hell too. And we need to be afraid of him. We need to fear him, and we need to fear the power that he holds, just like Pastor Luke talked about 2 weeks ago. I loved that message. Because yes, grace, but oh, the fear of God. It doesn't give us the right to sin. It doesn't give us the right to sin. And she knew who she was approaching. She didn't take that lightly. She said, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. Now, I don't know if you've seen a demon-possessed person, but it's crazy. I don't know if you watch those movies. I hope you don't, because I believe that what you put in is what you get out. But I have come across this more than once. When I was little, I used to see it all the time when my parents would pray over people. They would always kind of push me away from it and say, okay, go over there. Let me deal with this. But it ain't no joke. When the enemy wants to use you, he will use you, spit you out, throw you up. He will do everything. He'll make you look like a fool on his behalf. Come on. This girl was sick. Could you imagine your children flipping out? Could you imagine your children being demon-possessed? And some of you may be saying, I actually think mine is demon-possessed. I thought that a couple times that I have casted the demons out of Mike and Chloe in certain moments and then thinking, well, that's probably not what's really going on. But it looked like their head was spinning to me. But he answered in verse 23. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. He didn't answer her a word. Can you imagine going before somebody that's intimidating, somebody that you do have fear of, somebody that you know has the power to help you, and you're already afraid, you're already in a very vulnerable position, you're already uncomfortable, and you have to ask them to have mercy on you, so you're very humbled, very humbled, and then they just stare at you. That's a little intimidating. And then, not just that, but he has people talking. Tell her to go away. Tell her to go away. She doesn't need to be talking to you. Send her away. She cries out after us. Verse 24. But he answers and he says, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I love how he brings it back to salvation. I love how he brings it back to the true call of why he was here for you and I. Verse 25. And then she came and she worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Now, I don't think he said it like that. There's an exclamation mark in my Bible. Is there one in yours? Lord, help me! Can you imagine being desperate for your child to be healed? I don't think that there's anything further than that. Lord, help me! She knew where her answer was, and there was no other answer. In verse 26, but he answered and he said, it is not good to take children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Wow. Jeez. At that point, I'd be like, forget you then. Seriously, think about that. That was like a slap in the face. First of all, are you calling me a dog? Second of all, that's how the world around her saw her. That's how she was viewed. That's actually what they called the Gentiles. They were referred to as dogs. Interesting. But she turned it around. She's a little smart girl. I love the women of the house because they're so smart. And verse 27, she says, and she said, yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Come on, I have a little dog named Max. And I let him in at dinner because I don't have to sweep so much anymore. It's just a little visual for you. But he eats up every little crumb. And think about what she's saying here. She's saying, even if I could get a crumb, I know my daughter will be healed. Even if I could get a crumb, I know who you are. Even if I could get a crumb, I'm that desperate. I want a crumb, God. All I'm asking for is a crumb. I'm not asking for the food. I'm not asking for the meal. I'm asking for the crumb. Verse 28, then Jesus answers and he says, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And your daughter will be healed from this very hour. Now that is desperate. To go get every odd. To go against every persecution, to go against everything that she shouldn't have supposedly done, to go seek the face of God. That's what he's asking of us, girls. Do you do that? Can I be real? I read Facebook posts. I don't comment much, but I read. And there's people in the church that I read some of the posts and I'm like, what? Are you saved? You don't want Pastor Jess thinking you're safe, so don't friend me, because I'll watch you. And let me just say this. This is the way that the world works now, is through social media. And you can't take back what's already out there. And if you're trying to be a witness to the people in your world, you're not being a witness. If you're saying dumb things. So before you get emotional, women, don't write. Go pray. Little tip. Go pray. Go seek God. Be desperate for what he's desperate for. Find out what it is that's in your heart that doesn't need to be there. Listen, there's so many times I've had to go before the throne and say, God, here I am. I'm unhappy, but why? It has to be me. And it is. Every time. Well, Jess, you did this. Jess, you said this. Jess, your attitude has been this. You've been complaining a lot. You've been doing this a lot. You've been, oh, okay. Why did I go to you today? Like, but listen, every time you go and you're desperately seeking the Lord, he's going to find you. I love that song where it says, where I seek you, I will find you. You see, the reason why that is because he's never left you. We've left him. He's always there. He's always there. So when we go find him, we'll catch him. When you let go and release and do your own thing, he's still there going, hey, all right, do it on your own then. You don't need to do this. Just come find me. You'll find your victory. I wonder how many times God is looking down from heaven going, what a waste of time. You should be doing my work. Instead, you're wasting your time doing this. Guys, don't waste your time. Be desperate for what he's desperate for. Find out what it is God has for you. You may be in a plateau moment of believing God for something humongous to happen with your children or your family or your marriage or your finances. But listen, don't get weary in that moment of waiting. Because in that waiting and out of that desperation comes victory. And out of that waiting, that desperation becomes this woman that you need to be. Because there are things inside of you that have to change in order to handle the victory. I'm not going to go give Micah, my 5-year-old, the keys to my car, and say, go to the store for me and get me some milk. And he's like, woohoo, I've been knowing I can drive. And he gets in that car. What's going to happen? I ain't never going to get any milk. The car is going to be ruined. You think God's going to give you your victory if you're going to throw it away? You think he's going to give you a victory if he's not going to get the glory for it? You think he's going to give you the victory if there's something he's developing inside of you and there's something that he needs you to become out of this victory, and that out of this victory it's going to impact not just you but the world around you, which means more people will be saved. That means that the heaven will be populated on your behalf because you went through that hard time, because that victory had to be met, because your heart had to be right in order to receive the victory, and then the victory will be a shout. But until you get to your shout, until you get to your victory, be desperate. And don't be discouraged in those times of plateau, in those times of waiting, in those times of quiet. No, I'm just not hearing God. I'm just not hearing God. Listen, he's hearing you. Did you ever think that you've activated God and he's working on your behalf and he's a little busy taking care of what it is you're requesting? He's setting things up. He's ordaining certain positions on people. He's organizing companies to work on your behalf. He's organizing hospitals to work on your behalf. He's working it out. So instead of going and saying, oh God, I just haven't heard from you. You know, I'm so frustrated with you. Instead of that, just say, thank you, Jesus, for the answer and the outcome. In this time, I will find my joy in you. In this time, I'm going to find my peace in you, God. In this time, I'm going to seek you like I've never sought you before. And maybe he's just trying to get your attention. I know so many times when, you know, hell hits the fan, God's just trying to get my attention. He just needs some time with me. He just needs me to go focus and figure out what it is that he has. And then I feel just like so refreshed, so rejuvenated, so inspired to keep going in life. But listen, this isn't for wimpy Christians. This isn't for wimpy Christians. So if you walked in here and you're every maybe sometimes on a Sunday Christian, that ain't going to work anymore. God is saying, your spirit man needs more than Sunday morning. Yeah, that's right. Your spirit man needs more than just Thursday morning and that's your service for the week. Your spirit man needs to be fed. And then out of that, your family needs to be fed. And you need to fight and fight and fight to get your butt in church. Because all hell will come against you to not put you in church. See, you have to be desperate for him. That means you got an option to do something else. You don't. Have you ever been sick and thought, oh, I'm just going to take the night off from church? No, you should have been in church. That's where your healing is. Amen. Pastor Jess is not going to sit here and patty cake you. So don't come to the Rock Church and expect to get patty caked. That church is down the street somewhere. If you want a reference for this scripture, this story is also in Mark 7, 24 through 30. It's just a little different take on it. If you want to go back and if you study and you go read it in the other version, I love how he said in that version that doesn't the dog even eat from the children's plate, not the master's plate. So not even the head of the house, but the little kids that don't have any say. I just want the crumb from the one that's not even the most important in the home. She was desperate. She knew where her answer came from. And she got her victory. Girls, stick in there. Don't give up. Don't get weary and worry. 1 John 5:4 says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world." So, for a second, let's stop. Let's think about what this world is telling us right now. This world is telling us, number one, we're in recession, right? Number two, that we have to accept the gay lifestyle. I'm going to be real with you. That sex outside of marriage is okay. That everybody living with each other, it's just okay, because that's how we do things in this new... Be modern-minded. That it's okay to have one foot with God and say blessed and amen, and then go to the club the next night. You say, mm-mm, but some of those people are sitting in this room. And some of my church members are saying things on Facebook. Watch yourself, guys. Because whatever is born of God overcomes the world. That means God is going to overcome all those sins. He's going to overcome what everything else and everybody else in the world says. He's overcoming it. That's a fact. That's a promise. It's not going to change. He is coming. He will be here in the end. And that is how it's going to be. So you can fall into the ways of the world and allow it to consume you. Or you can stand for him. And you can go his direction. The rest of the verse says, "And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." What do you have faith for today? What have you not had hope and faith in today? What have you been discouraged in? And he said, "Oh, I'm just done. I'm done praying about it. I'm done believing for it. Done." God says, "Well, okay, fine. I'm the one that overcomes that, and I'm the one that sees the victory through that. But if you're going to lose your faith, you're not going to get it. Because the world is overcome by our faith. You see, God uses us, and through us, he makes things happen. We are his hands, we are his feet, we are the walking little women of God. So you keep going, girls. You be desperate for what he's desperate for. You fight for righteousness in this generation that's so lost. You will be going against the flow, and you will have persecution. But let me tell you, you are in the right place. And you stand your ground, and you be bold. Number two, look to him. You can look everywhere else. This world is an entertainment world. You can turn on the TV. You can watch anything you want on demand. I actually can get movies before they're in the movie theater on my TV. Yeah, it's amazing. So very good for us. We don't go to the movies. We have kids. So, but this world is so entertainment oriented. And what's the next best thing? And, oh, I don't like the way that looks. So let me redesign it. And that's so out. And this is so in. And do you see what I'm saying? It's such a world that keeps you going, and your mind and your eyes are so fixed. But what you look at is what you're pouring into your spirit. Yes. So if you're looking at what the world says, and you're looking at the things of this world, and if you're looking at what the politicians are saying right now, and if you're looking at what the world is saying right now, and if you're looking at the news right now, and if you're looking at those bills that are coming in, and if you're looking at the no job that you've been believing God for, if you're looking at the sickness of the bad report that you've gotten, fine. Where are you going to end up? Because God says, "I didn't tell you to look to this world. I told you to look to me. I am the author. I am the finisher of your faith. I am the beginning and the end. I've got this. I've got your healing. I've got your husband. I've got your children. I've got everything that is coming out, and you need to look to me. You have to look to him. Luke 9:57 through 62, if you would turn there with me. I just love the word, you know. It's just powerful. These people, you know, I love how the Bible says that there's nothing new under the sun. That is a little relieving, because then it tells me that people have been through this before and will get through it again. It's nothing that God can't handle. It's not too big for him. I love it. In Luke 9:57, the cost of discipleship, looking to him. Now it had happened as they had journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. How many times have you said that to God? Have you been like at a youth camp and you're like, anything, God, I will go to the mission field for you. And then a few weeks later, you're like, what? I'm hanging out with my friends again. And then you grow up and you come to church and you have that like experience at a woman's conference and like, life is awesome. And God, I will do anything for you. I will sacrifice anything. And then you just don't. Happens to all of us, guys. Verse 58. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds have air and have nests. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Which tells me he's on a mission. He didn't want to sleep. He didn't want to get cozy in a home. He doesn't want to have a place to lay his head because he's got a job to do. And he is here to get his job done. So anyone that's going to follow me is pretty much what he's saying. You better be a hard worker. You better be willing to sacrifice. You better be willing to know who you're following and willing to go where I go. Verse 59. Then he said to another, follow me. And he said, look, Lord, let me go first and bury my father. Now, of course, wouldn't you want to go bury your father first? But did you ever think about this? Was his dad dead? Maybe he wasn't dead yet. It's not clear. Maybe he wasn't dead yet. This could have been years from, well, God, you know, when my father passes, then I will come catch up with you. When that time comes in my family, God, I will then be there. Have you ever given God a criteria? Have you ever said, oh, when I get married, I'll serve you right, God? Or when my kids are out of the house, God, I'm really going to be so devoted to you, God. I'll go volunteer at the church, and I'll go read my word more, and I'll go pray more. And have you ever put conditions on your relationship with the Lord? In verse 60, and then Jesus said to him, let the dead bury the dead, their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. So he's telling them, no, you are not here for that. You say you want to follow me. We have to go preach the kingdom of God. He is focused. 61. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you. Let me go first and bid farewell to who is at my house. Let me go say goodbye to my family. Let me go, you know, get things in order and set things up for them so that they'll be okay. Wouldn't you think that would be a fair request? And God says, but Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. That means you may have to leave some family members behind to follow God. And that ain't easy. I've done it. We've had to do it. You know, my sister Kim, I don't know if you know her testimony. It's long. She's amazing. She has the most detailed testimony. And she was raised by her mom. Now, my dad was married 3 times before he was 25 years old. You guys know that. My mom lived with everybody. My dad married everybody. That's their story. My dad had a daughter who is Kim with her mom, and he married that woman twice. Hello, shame on you. Then my mom had Miranda, and she was married to that man for a long time. So then they were divorced, then they met, and they had me and Luke. Okay, so that's how our family works. We're a blended family. Now, Luke, I, and Miranda all lived together in our home, but Kim didn't. Kim lived with her mom. And we would always go, and Dad was just so, I mean, talk about being desperate. He was desperate to see Kim saved. He was desperate to be with his daughter, but because of complications, they just couldn't see each other many times. And I remember Kim came to our house and wanted nothing to do with God, and, you know, you don't come to our house and not want nothing to do with God, so we're going to church every service, and tough luck, get up, you know, and you don't cuss at your sister and bang her over the head with a pan. Yes, she did that to me. And she was tough, man. You wonder why I'm tough. I had to deal with Kim. So then I just beat up Luke because it made me feel better. So breaking free. Where's Joanne? I need to write a letter. So Kim was tough, and Kim was hurt, and Kim didn't understand God because she didn't have God in her mom's home. And Kim left, and I remember when she left, she said, I disown you. I want nothing to do with this family. I'm legally disowning myself from you, Dad. I mean, it broke my dad's heart. And I remember it broke my heart because she was my sister. I wanted to be with her. You know, I didn't understand. I was young. Why would you do that? She was young and stupid, too. So, I mean, she had, like, black hair, mohawk. I mean, she was crazy. So Kim disowned us. And I will never forget those 3 years that Kim disowned us. Because my dad was never not. And my mom, up at 5 o'clock in the morning, praying and raining down heaven on Kim's behalf. They didn't go after her. They didn't baby her. They didn't coddle her and make her a wimp in her decision. But they prayed for her from a distance. And then there was one night on a Wednesday night after church, the phone was ringing. And it was old school, guys. You remember when you didn't have answer machines and the phone just kept ringing? And then you had the phone that was still attached to the wall? Yeah, that's how that worked. So the phone was ringing. I will never forget it. And I was a teenager at this time, and my dad was like, it's probably one of your stupid friends. I'm like, hurry up, open the back door. Like, I can't miss a call. And I remember, I will never forget. And I ran in, and I grabbed the phone. I'm like, hello, hello. And there was this person on the other end weeping. I mean, weeping. And this was normal as a pastor. So I'm thinking, oh, gosh, Dad, I don't know. Hello? Dad, somebody's crying. You know, like, something happened. What happened? Did somebody die? Hello? You know, like, I don't know. I mean, I'm just trying to figure out what's going on. This is normal for us, okay? So all of a sudden she goes, Jess, and I knew it was my sister. And I fell on the ground and I started crying. And my dad was like, what is going on, you know? And I'm like, it's Kim. It's Kim. And Kim had just been almost sold into slavery after, yeah, you know the, what is that, sex slaves and all that? Yep. Somebody had drugged her, and they had left her in a ditch, and she had been rescued. And she called Dad, and Dad ran out there that night and saved her butt. And listen, he was desperate. He sought God, but he had to leave his daughter behind to do that. You think he didn't want to run to Vegas every night and go get her? You think he didn't want to go save her and rescue her? God says, follow me. It doesn't mean that it's always going to be easy, guys. It doesn't mean that those people that choose no God, that you follow them and coddle them. No, that means that you pray for them from a distance. And you continue serving God. And you continue standing for righteousness. And you continue believing the Lord for what is impossible and for that victory. Because in your prayer and in your desperation for their salvation and for the change in their life, you will be changed. And in the end, amen. And in the end of all of this story, who ended up with Kim? My dad did. She's still around. She's serving God. She's gone through some tough, tough, tough things. Kim's life, for some reason, just isn't as easy as others. But I'm telling you, that woman is so righteous. And she loves the Lord with all her heart. And she took a stand for righteousness, and she's still taking a stand for righteousness. And let me tell you something. I know that was birthed into her from my dad's prayers during that time of separation and during that time of not being with her. Because there is something that God does in the spirit that we don't understand. But if you give it to him and cast it to him and look to him and say, Lord, I'm looking to you, because if I look to that, it's going to break my heart. If I look to that, it doesn't make sense. If I look to that, I don't understand why. I only understand my perception. I only understand what the things that I get from my opinions. And Lord, my opinions and my perception are not what is important. But God, it's your perception and your opinion and your outcome that I want to see, God. Get out of the way and look to him. Look to him, the author and the finisher of your faith. The one who wrote the story in the beginning, and he's going to write the end of this story as well. Don't give up. Don't give up. A half-hearted discipleship eliminates one from God's maximum use. I don't think you got that. A half-hearted discipleship, a half-hearted follower of God, eliminates one from God's maximum use. You can't be half-hearted. God can't use you. He says, I need you wholehearted. I need you to love me. I need you to follow me. I need you to seek me. You will mess up along the way, and I will forgive you, and we will get through that, and we will love each other together. But you need to stay with me in that. Don't lose me in it. A half-hearted discipleship eliminates one from God's maximum use. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be not used in a maximum way. You know, listen, a lot of you older people look at us younger people and think, you have your whole lives ahead of you. And we do. And it's scary. And you say, I've been there, I've done that. Listen, your life isn't over either. You got a lot in you. I need to know what's in you. We need to see what's in you. You got plans and purposes and a destiny. It is not the end of the end. And I know that that sets in because I've been listening even to my mom. She's 60 and she's like, just so old, you know, I'm going to get out of the way. What? Shut up. Like, you got the whole world ahead of you. Listen, God can still plant dreams inside of you. He still can use you. He still can use you to heal the sick, to make them recover. Listen to me, ladies. You have the wisdom, and you have the knowledge, and you have the experience, and you have the life that you now can go and say, listen, let me help you. I know what my God can do because I've seen it. I know what God can do because I've been where you've been. Start asking for new dreams and visions. Start asking for things. Listen. This isn't over. Don't count yourself out. God says, look to me. Be desperate for me. Look to me. This is for young and old. Black and white. Mexican, Hispanic, Chinese, whatever. God is not a respecter of persons. You know what God loves? He loves the heart. He loves the heart. Look to me. Hebrews 12:2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Think about that statement. Who the joy that was set before him. Oh, yay, I get to go to the cross and die and suffer a horrible death. What a statement. The joy. Listen, when you're going through something that you know is going to be hard, you can count it all joy. Because whether it's hard or not, whether that trial is going to come, it will. Okay, you don't get saved and the trials don't come. I'm sorry, I wish it was the way it was. But actually, I think you get saved and the trials come right away. But you can have joy through it. There's been so many times that I've been discouraged and down, and where I could see where the enemy would defeat me, I will find my joy and I will start singing praises. I literally sing stupid songs all through my house and dance. Cheryl Salem was talking to the pastors about it. They were saying, how do you get through all the pain from ministry? How do you get through it? And Cheryl said, well, I dance and I sing and I make funny songs up and it renews my spirit. It is so true. I do the same thing. And I know Titus is so young, I'm so glad he doesn't notice. Because he's like, what is she doing? You know? But listen, when you're alone, you go dance. You go sing. Make up some stupid songs before the Lord. Because I'm telling you, you're going to find your rest and your peace there. And you will find your joy through that trial. You will. If God can do it with the cross, we can do it. Despising the shame, he has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The end result was accomplished. Because he did it, he worked through it, and he found his joy in it. And now he gets to see you and I serve him and love him desperately. And look to him when we need him. Because he's a dad. I don't know about you, but when my kids are hurt, my son, Micah, he will just cry, 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 cry. And I'm like, Micah, talk. What do you need? And he's like, do you guys ever do that to God? I'm sure he's like, would you speak? Like, let's talk about this. Just open your mouth and talk to Dad. Because he does love you. As much as he can put you in hell, he also loves you. So love him and be afraid of him. Have you ever had a dad that gave you a good whooping? Yeah. I know spankings are so of the devil nowadays. Please. You should be spanking your kids. Get a twitch off the tree and spank their butts every time they tell you no, mama. Don't let them talk back to you. Sorry, a little side tip there. All these bad-mouthing kids, I hate it. So anyways, well, because my son is doing it, and every time, it's really funny, I just have to say, side note, are we girls, can we go there?
Yes, ma'am.
Last week, Micah really had an issue with no. So Dan would be like, Micah, can you go pick up this? No. Dan's like, bam. Micah, can you go, you know, bring your shoes over to the thing? No. Okay, bam. Micah's like, you're so mean. Bam. I'm like, wow, Micah, you're not getting it. So Dan sits him down and explains to him, every time you tell me no, you don't talk back to an adult. You don't tell me no. And he said, and every time that you tell me I'm mean, and every time you go against me, you're getting another spanking. And he's like, you're so, it's too hot. Micah's hilarious. Seriously, this is Micah. So he's like, so all day he wants to like talk back to Dan, but the spankings are starting to work. So he's like this. And I'm like, go pray. And I hear him on the steps. God, I'm just so mad at my dad. Just so mad at him, you know. But this week he's been wonderful. So believe me, the spanking works. It works. I don't care what the world says. It does. Now, don't beat your children for the love of God. Please. And then don't say the church told you so. No, we didn't tell you to beat your kids. Anyways, okay, I just need a little funny story in there. Okay, number three. God says, that last part of it, that he is the light of the world. It is not dim. He is not dim, but he is light. He is the light of the world. So number three, you need to shine his light. Not yours, his. Because he is what shines through us. For others to see. So don't get the credit for it, girls. It ain't you, it's him. John 1:4, in him was life. In him was life. In him was life. Think about this. Is a man that created Adam and then said it is not good for man to be alone and pulled Eve out of a rib. In him was life. And then life was the light of men. We are testimony. Of his life. We are testimony of his goodness. Our light shining reflects his life and his testimony. So when you think that you're being crabby and annoying, you need to go hide. Because if your light ain't shining, go pray. That's what I tell Micah. Go pray. Go pray it out. You'll feel better. Ask God to shine your light through him again. Or allow you to shine his light through you again. Because that's what he's asking of us. Matthew 5:16, it says, let your light shine so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I remember working at Sam's Club, and when I worked at Sam's Club, man, if you're returning something, you better be nice, all right, to the people working behind the counter, because they already been cussed out four times before they seen you. So I worked at Sam's Club, and I will never, ever forget my first day at Sam's Club. I'm sure you guys have heard, some of you have heard this story. I mean, I'm so excited to have a job. We're at Rhema. We're like, we're broke. What are we going to do? I mean, I need a job. So I got a job. And then they hired Dan. And then they hired Luke. And then they hired Joe. I mean, it was like crazy. They hired the whole rock church. So Sam's Club, we invade, right? It's our first day. And I'm with this other Rhema student. He had already worked there. And so he's training me on the, I was at customer service. So I would set up your memberships and I would return your merchandise. So I'm sitting there learning the system, and this man comes up to me, and he's in line, and he says, you told me, and he did the whole head thing, and I was thinking, where am I? I'm not in San Bernardino anymore. I am in Yeehaw country, and this man is, like, doing the head thing, and this is what's going through my mind. I'm like, oh, here we go. So he says, you told me yesterday I could get a free membership, and I was like, that's not possible. I wasn't here yesterday. See my badge? It says, it's my first day. Like, and so the worker that was working with me, he was also a Rhema student, he jumped in. He was such a man. I mean, he's such a good guy. He was wonderful. I just think about him for a second. Okay, so he jumped in, and he was like, back up. I'm going to take care of this. And He was like, I'm sorry, sir, but she didn't even work here. You talked to me. And I did not tell you you could get a free membership yesterday. That's not how this works. And he, like, you know, fixed the situation. And the guy looked at me and he goes, well, listen, F-U-B to me. And I was like, woo! I'm gonna get on here. No, I'm just kidding. I did it. You can take the girl out of San Bernardino, but you can't take the San Bernardino out of the girl. So, I'm kidding. Okay, so I did it. I held back. So I was shocked. So I do have to say, I probably was like this. They called security and kicked the guy out. And I thought, well, hallelujah, I got a job. You know what I mean? But that job was the best job I ever had because of that situation, I was being tested on a daily basis to keep a smile on my face. And I was tested on a daily basis to be against the most angriest people. I mean, don't ruin a camera and then bring it back and expect me to be happy about it. I mean, come on, you know? And so, I mean, I was really challenged. And I remember there was this one older man, and he lived across the street in a retirement home. And I loved older people. I used to tell Dan, I just love older people because I had a grandfather that I loved. I mean, me and him were like best friends. And when he died, it tore me up, my dad's dad. So I always, like, you know, connected with older people. And Dan always thought I was weird. He was like, you're so weird. Quit saying you like old people. Like, it's so weird. And I'm like, why? And he's like, you just want to cuddle them and hug them. And I'm like, shut up. I'm not weird. You know, like, so this man and me had this connection. So he would come, walk over to Sam's Club just to hang out with me. So he would hang out at the end of the table, and we would talk about God. And he would tell me about his old days in the Navy. And, you know, this is during downtime. And he would go and buy something, and then he would bring it to me. So I would ring him up because he just loved me, and I just loved him. And we just had this relationship, and we began to talk. And then probably about 3 weeks later, he said to me, he goes, you're a Christian, aren't you? And I said, yeah. And he goes, I could tell. And I'm like, how can you tell? And he goes, well, you've just been so nice to me. Unlike other people around, he's like, it's like light comes out of you. And I'm like, really? And you know what a compliment that is as a Christian to hear that, because you don't know if you are being good at being a Christian. And I just remember my heart melted, and then I never saw him again. Makes me wonder if he was an angel. Makes me wonder. But you don't know how you're perceived by other people. And you don't know the people that God has placed in your life just to maybe love, because he just needs you to show them some love so that they can go find him. You see what I'm saying? You are a vessel. You are his light. You are what is light in a dark room. If I turn this room lights off right now, can we do it? Can we turn the lights off? Let's do it. Come on, all the lights. Chop, chop. Man, that ain't dark. All right, that's pretty dark. Now, dang, I wish I had a lighter. Somebody have a lighter? Come on, smokers. Anybody got one? Whatever. You know you have one. Pastor Michelle, what are you? Pastor Michelle. No, just kidding. Here, give me your light. Give me your phone. Okay. So can you see the light? Oh, I have a flashlight on my phone. I should use that. There you go. Where's your eye going when you look in the room? To the light, to this light, to that light, to that light. This is how the world looks. It's always dark. It's always dark. But when someone's hurting, where are they going to go? They're going to go to where that maybe there's something that looks hopeful to them. Something that looks like, oh, maybe I could get something from that, because there's nothing here. There's only something there, obviously. Turn the lights back on, please. Do you see what I'm saying? You are the hope for other people. You are the light for other people. You are the vessel that God needs to use, but he needs you to love him. He needs you to look to him. Then he can use you to be his light. Otherwise, we compromise. I love what Pastor Jim says. He says, what we compromise, we will lose. Now, in marriage, you do have to compromise. But what he's saying is on the things of God. What you compromise to the ways of this world, you will lose. So do you want to compromise your life and your children to the ways of the world and lose God? Because let me tell you something. If you lose God, you'll end up losing your kids and you'll end up losing your family. I've seen it time and time and time again. People walk away from the house of God. They never get plugged back into another church. They stop serving God. They slowly start coming to church, stop coming to church, and then their lives fall apart. Someone dies. Their kids get cancer. Something horrible happens, and then what? God wasn't there. No, he's always there. You just have to seek him. You have to be desperate for him. We have to look to him. And then you need to be the light. I live in a dark neighborhood. Nobody likes me. Can you believe that? They don't like me. Every time they see me coming, they shut their doors and they don't answer them. So if any of you are listening, open your doors. And I began to just say, okay, God, you want me to live here. You want me to talk to these people. You want me to be friendly. But I wave and they stare at me. Seriously, like, what is the deal? Like, just say, hi, it's not that hard, hi. You know, and I was getting discouraged, and the Lord said to me, you and Dan, this house is a light in the middle of your neighbor. Do you notice you are in the middle? We are, like, in the middle of everything. You have to drive past our house if you're leaving. You have to come. And I'm like, yeah? And he goes, you may think that they don't like you because they run inside and shut the doors when they see you coming. And I'm not kidding, they do. They do. Dan went to go invite somebody to church. They shut their garage door right on him. Oh, my God. But it's okay. We're good. You know? Our feelings aren't hurt. I didn't buy that, people. I didn't buy them pumpkins this year. So as I began to seek God about my neighbors, and I began to feel really like, this is not going anywhere, God. Like, I am doing what I need to do, and this is not going anywhere. Do you remember the neighbor that I told you she was Buddhist? And I got her saved. She got saved. Then her daughter got saved. And then her brother came and he got saved. I mean, I was dancing on the ceiling. Now, these are the Vietnamese people that do nails. Just one. And if you've seen Angela Johnson. And they're amazing. They're a wonderful family. I love talking to all of them. But they don't understand God. They do not understand the concept of God. They think like, well, if that works for you and this works for us. And I'm like, no, you don't get it. There's only one God. And so we started actually having dialogue about it, and they were open to listening. And I began to just, okay. And then Chloe started to become friends with their daughter, and then that was a connection. Well, last week, I had not seen them in church in months. And every time I would get in my car, I would, like, be looking, you know, because I'm going to pounce on them. And nobody would ever be outside again. Now, the one neighbors that talked to me they're not talking to me now. So I'm like, wow, God, like, I feel uncomfortable driving home, you know, like, nobody likes us here. And so I said to the Lord in church on Sunday, last Sunday, I said, God, I just pray that you sweep through that household and that they don't forget what they had with you and that they don't lose their love for you that they had at that one time. Okay, so that was Sunday. Sunday afternoon, 1 hour later, I have to rush home. It's right before pastor's conference. I got to clean my house. I got to cook 3 meals. I got to get the kids dressed. We got to turn right back around, come to church. This was my plan. Talk about day interrupted. Shining his light. The neighbor's outside, and he's sitting by himself, the one that got saved. And nobody else is around, and there's tons of cars. And I thought, oh, perfect opportunity to be like, hey, what's going on in the neighborhood? You know, like, so I did. I started talking to him, and as soon as I started talking to him, the sister that I got saved and her daughter pulled up. Now, I have not ran into them in months. We live next door to each other, okay? I hear them, they hear me, they don't talk to me. So she pulls up, she starts talking to me, and of course, with me, it's, I'm so sorry I haven't been in church, confession 101. I'm like, don't go there, you don't need to tell me, I don't need to know. Just get in church. And we start to talk, I start to minister to her because she had something happen to her and the family, and it just started to become this whole day. And in fact, every Vietnamese child that was at her house ended up at my house, and I was feeding them, and Chloe finally had girls. I mean, girls to play with. I mean, she was in heaven, and Micah was throwing a fit. The girls do not want to play with me. I'm like, well, this is how she feels every day. She has 13 cousins, and they're all boys, and so it's only Chloe. So Chloe was in heaven, and she loved it, and I got to talk to the mom, and it was just a piece of heaven for me. I enjoy talking to Crystal. Her name is Crystal. She's wonderful. She's amazing, and God loves her. And I looked at Crystal, and I said, Crystal, do you know that God loves you so much that he won't leave me alone? And she's like, what do you mean? And I go, I think about you at night when you're talking really late, and you guys are keeping me up. And me and Crystal joke all the time. She's like, oh, I'm sorry about that. And then I said, and I think about you in the morning when your windows are open and my kids are yelling at the dog at 6 o'clock in the morning outside. And I think, oh no, am I waking them up? Too bad they kept me up late. So, and she laughs. And so she says, you know, I've just been knowing that I need to talk to you. And you and Dan are such a good example to me of what I want, because she's a single mom, of what I want in a husband and what I want for my daughter. And I'm going to get myself back into church, Jess. I'm going to just do it. It's hard, but I'm going to do it because she's working. And there's always an excuse. I mean, she's a single mom, full-time, you know, medical student, full-time. And then in her family, she's the head of the house in a way. Like, I don't know how that culture works, but she's the oldest, so she takes care of everybody else. So anyway, so she has a lot on her plate, and she's like, I'm just going to do it because you and Dan have been so gracious to us. And you guys, and I was just like, oh, my gosh. And so I went inside, and we were heading to church that night. And I go, okay, God, day interrupted, fine. And then I was like, that's so cool, though. You know, like my prayers worked. And the Lord spoke to me and said, you were my light. Crystal got it because you were a light. I need to get to Crystal. If I get to her, I'll get to the family. And now my prayers have been changing towards the family because I got to talk to her mom and I got to talk to her dad that day, which is like humongous. And so anyways, you be the light. Listen, it may mean your day is interrupted. It may mean that your plans are going to have to get changed. It may mean you walk out of this building today and your whole day is changed, but you put that smile on your face and you share the love of God. You don't have to jam the word down them, but you got to love them. You got to love them. If they're discouraged, you encourage them. Don't be a discourager with them. Be an encourager for them. Be their cheerleader. Tell them how awesome they are because you know what? God loves them. And because you're his light, you're going to be the voice and the vessel that he needs to get them saved. And listen, God's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't just because I'm a pastor do that for me. No, believe me. He's doing it for you. You're living in your neighborhood and next to you, there's certain people you're living to for a reason. Everything we do on this earth is for a reason. And it's only for him. So get off yourself and start focusing on what it is he needs for you. Look to him. Shine his light. Be that vessel that he needs you to be. Because he is not dark, desperate, or depleting. But he is a big God. He's a God who created the heavens and the earth. He's the one that formed you in your mother's womb before you even knew your mother. He knows every hair on your head, the ones you lost in the shower today. And he has called you and purposed for you a plan. So you need to be ready to be that light. You need to be ready to look to him. You need to be desperate for what it is that he's desperate for. Maybe you say, well, I don't really have anything that I believe in God to be desperate for. Then find out what he's desperate for. Ask him what he's desperate for. I can tell you right now what he's desperate for. He's desperate for souls. He's desperate for salvation. He's desperate for people to find him. He's desperate to populate heaven. That's your job. We are not to look to this world. We are not to look to this world for answers. So stop looking to this world for answers. Whoever's the next president, whoever's the next politician, who cares? My God is still God. Either way, I don't serve man, I serve God. Now listen, do your part and vote. But what I'm saying is, no matter what the outcome is, he's still God. No matter what happens, he's still on the throne. No matter what happens, you think he didn't know what was going to come or what was going to happen? He's not up in heaven going, oh my gosh, the elections are coming up. What are these people going to do? Please. He knows exactly what's going to happen, and he knows exactly where this world is going, and he knows exactly the recession that we're supposedly in. It's rough times. It's rough times, I know. But listen, my grandma talked to me about the Depression, and we aren't there yet. We aren't there yet. We're very blessed people. We have a country that does take care of us. You go to Africa, you don't have that. So just count your blessings a little bit. Stop having the mentality of you're owed. You're not owed anything. We're not owed salvation. The grace of God allows us to be saved and make it to heaven. The love and the mercy of the Lord saved our souls from hell. From burning flames continually, and you never get out of hell. Let's go back to who he is. He's loving, but he ain't no joke. Don't play with God. Don't mess with God. you're in sin today, it is time for you to change. You have been officially warned. It is time to change. It is time to not be mediocre Christians. It is time to get your face swords back out. It is time to bring your knees to the prayer closet a little bit more. It is time to see and believe for what is impossible. You say, I don't know what's impossible. I'll tell you what's impossible to get this building paid off. I need this building paid off, guys. Amen. So start believing with us then. That looks almost impossible. We need it paid off. So that this church is not owed to man, but it's God. And no one can take it from us. Start believing for the impossible. Believe for something bigger than yourself. Pray and ask God, what is it, God, that you need me? Put something on my heart, God, that I can yearn for and long for. If you don't have something to be desperate for, you find what God wants you to be desperate for. Don't be mediocre. Don't be a poor baby Christian. We're not poor baby Christians. We're tough. We live in San Bernardino. We got hell hitting the fan around here. We got a lot of work to do. There are souls out there that need to be saved. There are people that need to be loved. There are lives that need to be changed. And the God that loves you loves those people out there. Your family members, the people you live next door to that keep you up all night. Come on. Don't stop believing. Don't stop believing. Look to Him. Be desperate for Him. Long for what He longs for and shine His light. I'm going to read this verse to you again. Behold, a king will reign in righteousness, and princes will rule with justice. A man will be as a hiding place from the wind, and a cover from the tempest, and rivers of water in a dry place, and a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. The eyes of those who see him will not be dim, and the ears of those who hear will listen. I want to be the one that listens to God. I want to be the one that sees God, not wonders if he's there. What about you? Listen, he says, in this world, it will look desperate, it looks depleting and dim. But remember that I am not desperate, but I need you to be desperate for me. And out of that desperation comes your victory.